I mean, there's a couple days this week where, man, my heart was grieved. My spirit was grieved. Amen. And some things I didn't understand, and I was complaining to the Lord about it, and the Lord said, son, I did this for you to protect you.
Amen.
And sometimes when you think something wasn't right or whatever, God says, well, my hand is protecting you. What it looks like isn't always what it is. Amen. And he says, in time you will see. Amen. But trust me in and through it. So one of the things the Lord is speaking to my heart about, and when the Lord speaks to my heart, he has something to say to us, but he wants us to get a hold of it, because when the Lord speaks, his word never returns void. It always accomplishes something. And God desires to accomplish something in every one of our hearts and every one of our lives today. I was reminded this morning when I was praying early this morning, the Lord reminded me where the psalmist wrote in Psalms 133, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. I want you to understand that the adversary does everything he can to divide the body of Christ, that we will not stand in unity. Amen. But God wants us to understand that he's wanting us to be the light in this world and not darkness. We don't feed darkness by darkness. We feed darkness by light. Amen. We do not render evil for evil, but we render good for evil. The word of God, Jesus says to you and I, blessed are we when we're persecuted and despised for his name's sake, for great is our reward. So what we're doing is we're ministers for Christ Jesus. We're not representing us, we're representing him. Amen. We're Christ ambassadors, again, as a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, you can become a child of God today and become a Christ ambassador. An ambassador is a representative for someone else. And what we're doing is we're representing heaven here on earth. The word of God says, and he was speaking to my heart, he said, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto edification, exhortation, and for comfort in 1 Corinthians 14:3. And if our words aren't building someone up, if they're not encouraging one another, if they're not comforting one another, we got to go back to the altar. Amen. Now, sometimes God will use a prophet to bring a prophetic word, and sometimes that word may come in correction, but it is always done in love. But at the same time, God wants you and I to understand, as men and women, as we're prophesying, as we're speaking to one another, we're speaking to build each other up, to encourage one another, to comfort one another. Amen. How many know that sometimes when you need comfort or need some encouragement, there doesn't seem to be anybody around? Have you ever been in that place where it seems like you're all by yourself and no one cares, or no one, it doesn't seem to matter to anybody? And you get off on that island, and sometimes you get off on that island because you allow the adversary to get you on that island. And God says, come off of that island and unite yourself with brothers and sisters of like faith that who will love you just like you are, that will be an encourager to you, that will be a helper to you. Amen. And right now, I'm just telling you, the Holy Spirit speaking right now. I'm not even into the message or where we're going today, but the word of God, and God wants to encourage us. Amen. God says the things that you're doing and the things that he's called you to, he hasn't changed his mind concerning you. And he's saying to you, do not change your mind concerning me. Everything that I said to you, everything that I promised you, I will bring it to pass. It may not come in your time, but it's always in his time. Amen. And one thing I found about the Lord is his timing is perfect.
Amen.
Amen. And sometimes when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against them, and the standard's being raised. And a standard's going to be raised here today in this house.
Amen.
So look with me in Romans chapter 14, and we'll see what the Lord wants to say to us today. In verse number 7 says, for none of us liveth to himself, or no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And here's where I want to focus our attention today, on verse number 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You know, when I was thinking about this and I was praying about this, the Lord reminded me of the natural. He reminded me of an old game show that used to be on television. I believe the host was Richard Dawson, and the show was the game show was Family Feud. And in this Family Feud, what the Lord was showing me, that families in the body of Christ are feuding one another. Yeah. And the question for this game today, we're not playing a game, we're getting serious, but it's in that thought or mindset. The question's asked, how can the brethren dwell together in unity? The final answer is by not judging one another, by not jamming each other up, by not jeopardizing one another's faith. And as we're going through this, he says, and the survey says, and the survey is, when we say the survey says, it's amen. 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 Because what we're speaking is the truth, and we're speaking God's word. And God's word is truth. Amen. So as this, we're giving our final answers, we're giving God glory by responding and say, okay, Lord, I hear you. Amen. Amen means so be it, Lord. So be it in my life. Amen. Not just so be it for everyone else, Lord, but so be it in me. Let's ask God's blessing. Can we lift the word again? I kind of enjoy doing this, to come into unity. I think everything we can do for unity is important. I love it when we praise and worship, because you know what we're doing? We're all singing the same song together. Amen. Amen. And we're all coming in one accord. Amen. So let's lift the word and say, repeat after me, say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I can be who God says I can be. I can do everything God says I can do. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. Amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish something in every heart and every life. So, Father, as old, I pray, Father God, that the words that proceed out of my mouth bring glory to you. May the body be edified and exhorted and comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, all glory will be to you and not to us. So have your way in every heart and every life, Father God. Father, you love us so much where we're at, but you love us so much you do not leave us there, that you choose to take us from glory to glory, even as by your Spirit. So we thank you for your guidance and your direction today, and we'll never cease to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, you know, when we're looking at the final answer, you know, the first final answer was no, not judging one another. Amen. How can we dwell in unity? By not judging one another any longer. Amen. The Lord constantly reminds me, the devil always manifests himself in the flesh. But we're not wrestling with flesh. We're wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world with spiritual wickedness in high places. So God constantly wants to remind you and I, if we put a face on it, we lose the battle. All of a sudden, we start judging one another. We start criticizing one another. And God wants us to be an encourager. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, by not judging one another. I don't know. I don't know about you, but when Jesus speaks, I have a tendency to listen more. Amen? Amen? Every time I look at the written in red, he reminds me of the blood that was shed. Amen? Yes, you can.
I want to share something. I'm in a judging situation, and God talked to me, and I never talked back to my dad. I've never talked back to my mom. My dad has brain cancer, and he has lung cancer, and he is a very judging person. He judges the cat. He judges Donnie. He judges the dog. He never has anything nice to say to anybody about anything. So I prayed about it at night. I pray in the day for patience and strength to get through each day. I haven't been coming to church because I felt I need to be there to take care of Dad. So Jesus talked to me, God talked to me, and he said, I need to stand up to my dad and tell him how I feel and go to church anyway. And I did talk to my dad. I told him how I felt. I told him how you're not to judge people. So it's so funny that I come to church and I'm learning about judging because I finally just blew up and told him, you're not supposed to judge people. You're supposed to love everyone. And, you know, I am opening up my house to this man. And my dad looked at me and was like, wow. And I said, that's all I've got to say. And I'm at church today. So maybe he'll stop.
Father, we send the word right now to Beverly's dad, Father God. We bind every weapon the enemy has formed against his body and his mind, Father God. We speak to this cancer and we curse it in Jesus' name. We bind it, we call it loose from his body. We speak to his brain. We command it to function as it was created, Father God. We bind every weapon, Father God, and in and through this, may he find you, Father God. May he have a revelation of the God who loves him just the way he is. And will never cease to give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? The Word of God says, Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse number 1, judge not that you be not judged. For what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with that what measure ye meet or hand out, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of your own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. God saying to us, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that's what we reap. Amen. So we're not to judge one another. Secondly, he says here in Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, and God has principles of judgment. How many know that we're to follow godly principles?
Amen.
Amen. God makes the rules, we don't. He sets the rules and we follow his rules. Amen. As obedient children. Amen. How many parents want their children to obey you? Come on, be real. How many want your children to obey you, your grandchildren to obey you, okay? If you want your children and your grandchildren to obey you, how are you doing at obeying God? How are you doing at obeying his word? Whatsoever man soweth, that he reaps. So if you're looking for obedience, you need to be obedient. Amen? Amen? We're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are being added unto us. Amen? So God gives us the principles. And the Apostle Paul says this, and in Romans chapter 2, verse number 1, he says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things." How many of you know that we have a tendency to judge people for doing the same things we do ourselves? And sometimes when we're judging people for doing the same thing we do ourselves, we kind of justify ourselves by judging them. Amen? Oh, I do it, but I'm not quite as bad as they are. Hello? Is God speaking to anybody here? You know who he's speaking to? He's speaking to everyone in the room. He's speaking to every last one of us. God said he's not leaving any of us out, that he has something to say to us. So he says, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" In other words, sometimes you just got to say, "I'm wrong." Yes. Hello? You know, sometimes we're always waiting for the other one to come to us and to repent. But God says, "You go ahead and repent yourself." Amen. Go ahead and say, "I'm wrong." Amen. Admit I'm wrong. Amen? Confess my faults one to another. And the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But he says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up of the unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." So I was looking at this, I was reminded about something. I went through a pretty heavy storm this week, and you know, God's the peace in the midst of the storm. And I was being judged. And the Lord reminded me in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. For you that are being judged. Someone else is judging you. This is where he wants to speak to that light. Not just that you have judged someone else, but somebody that is judging you. Okay? Here's what the Lord said in verse number 3. The Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth. He says, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore," listen, "judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." So our final answer of this, the question is, how can we dwell together in unity? Our final answer is by not judging our brother. And the survey says,
amen.
You listen, praise God. Give me a fist bump. It's amazing. Hearing. I'm going to speak about that next week. I'm not getting into there yet. I'm not going to give away all the jewels for next week. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he says, first, we're not judging to stay in unity with one another. Secondly, we're not jamming one another up. In other words, he says, and be a stumbling block to trip up your brother, to trip up your sister. You know, so in Isaiah chapter 57. This is what I'm prophesying, just as the prophet Isaiah prophesied. In verse number 14. And you shall say, cast ye up. Cast ye up. Prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Amen? And in other words, we're not going to jam one another up. Amen? We're in this together. You know, we're going to spend eternity together. We might as well get used to being together now. Hello? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves all the children of the world. There ain't anyone any better than any other. I don't care if you're Republican. I don't care if you're Democrat. I don't care if you're independent. I don't care what you are. You're all the same in Jesus' eyes. God created man in His image. Amen. And we're all created in His likeness and in His image. So God says, let's not be a stumbling block to others because we don't agree on the same thing that they agree with. Amen. We can disagree with one another in love. A love will cover a multitude of sins. Even when somebody is wrong, our love doesn't make the wrong right, but our love covers the wrong. Amen. We're not acting like the world acts. How many have got the Holy Ghost in here? If you got the Holy Ghost, you got the Spirit of love. And if the Spirit of love, what did the Lord just say during worship today? He said that when we're relying on that Spirit that's within us, that He'll guide and direct us, and it should be more about Him and then less about us. More of Him and less. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? So we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Amen? And what He was talking about here, about jamming one another up, I got to go somewhere. Look at me in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. How many know sometimes that the Lord in His love may step on your toes? But thank God He's the healer. It may ouch for a minute, but when I acknowledge it, the pain goes away. Yeah, we could say, sometimes we could say, amen or oh me. All right? Sometimes I just got to say, oh me. Amen. In this context, just so you understand, I'm not taking this out of context. Yeah, they were talking about eating meat that was offered unto idols. Okay? And some didn't have a problem with it and others did. But there was something that just jumped off the page at me. Have you ever been reading the Word and all of a sudden something just jumps out of the page? It's just almost, it comes up and it's broad and it's lit up. And you say, okay, Lord, I get it. Amen. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, He said, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. This liberty. Now, you know, sometimes, I'm going to use a couple of examples. There's some that God has delivered from alcoholism that were alcoholics. So as a man of God, I won't drink a beer. I don't drink beer anyway because I took a Levite vow. But I won't drink beer in front of a man that's suffering with an addiction. Because my drink became a stumbling block to him. It wasn't about me. It was about him. I was strong in that area, but he was weak. So I could just say, well, I don't have a problem with it. But if what I'm doing is having a negative effect on someone else, I become a stumbling block. I'm jamming up that individual. I'm tripping that individual up. Amen. And just because you don't deal with that situation, you know, there's some that battle with pornography. So you don't invite them to your house and put on an R-rated movie. Well, I don't have a problem with it. Well, The one sitting there may have the problem with it. So what I'm doing is becoming a stumbling block for someone else. Hello? In other words, whether we recognize it or not, we're tripping our brothers and our sisters up by our freedom that we, liberty that we have, when they might have a situation or they might be battling with something that we're not battling with. And what are you saying? God's saying to us, if we're led by the Spirit of God, and without the Spirit of God to lead us, we know what we can do and what we cannot do when we're around people. Now, what you're doing in the privacy of your own home, that's between you and the Lord. Truthfully, you don't need to watch R-rated movies anyway. Let's say we got a G-rated house. Hello? Amen? Amen? You know? And so when you look at these things, God is saying, for who the Son is made free is free indeed. So we're not to become a stumbling block to trip up our brothers and sisters because we have freedom. You know, I've shared before, the Lord delivered me out of many things, and he set me free from many things. So I don't wink my eyes or say, well, I could do this. I'll just go ahead and say this. A lot of people are not going to like it. But in the world we're living in, they're getting ready to legalize marijuana. Let me tell you, marijuana is a gateway to other things.
Yes, it is.
When I was led into the drugs that I got into, it started with marijuana. That was the gateway that the enemy used to open up the door to other things. Amen. And when that door was opened up, whether it was legal or illegal, all of a sudden I started doing things that were illegal. Amen. And we're not just talking about illegal drugs. We're talking about prescription drugs that aren't good for you, that alter your mind and change you and do things to your body, mind, soul, and spirit. Amen. If we truly believe we're in the last days and Jesus is returning, amen, for his bride, he's looking for a spotless church without spot or wrinkle, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that we have to be aware of the time that we're in. And we be aware of our surroundings, and so we're walking with integrity.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Integrity is important.
Yes, it is.
Integrity is important for us to honor one another, to respect one another, to love one another, to accept one another right where you're at, to know that God has a plan and a purpose for every life. Amen. Not just in your life, but in every life. Amen. So when I was looking at this in 1 John being a stumbling block or jamming up our brother, in 1 John chapter 2, John the Beloved writes in verse number 9, he says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that loves his brother, you're not going to stumble. You're not going to trip them up. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because darkness has blinded his eyes. The Lord always reminds me, and I'll say it probably a million times, when I'm ministering to people, the Lord reminds me, don't forget where I found you. Don't look down your nose at anyone. Get down and meet them right where they're at. And get down and meet them with the love, my love. Amen. His love's unconditional. You know that his love blows the world away. Because everything love in the world, it has conditions on it. If you do this, I'll do this. If you do that, I'll do this. It has the conditions. But God's love comes to you and I with unconditional. It's unconditional love. It's agape love. It's pure love of God. And if we allow that love to flow through our hearts and lives, all of a sudden we'll minister to people in a supernatural way which they're not used to. And then they recognize it as being God's love, and it's not perverted with man's love. Mankind, sometimes when you love someone with father's love, sometimes man wants to pervert it and try to put romance in it, amen, Amen. And let me say this. I love every woman in the house, but there ain't another woman in this world besides Jackie Mines. Okay? She's my wife. She's my lover. She's my best friend. Besides Jesus, she's number two. We've been together 44 years. I got the best thing. I shared it before, and I'll share it again. She doesn't like me doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. God created her for me. God knew exactly what I needed. God knew exactly what I needed, and he provided everything I needed in that woman. Hallelujah. You want to preach? She hates it when I do that. Love you, baby. Hallelujah. I don't act like that just in front of you. I act like that with her at home, too. Now, I do have my moments. Every once in a while. So what we're looking at, the final answer, one, is no judging, no jamming our brothers and sisters up. The survey says?
Amen.
Do y'all know how your pastor operates?
Yeah.
If you don't know, let me explain. If I don't get amen from you, it means that you didn't get it. And if you didn't get it, I have to keep expounding until you get it. So when you say amen, I can move along and the service can end in earlier and your belly that's growling for your lunch will get fed. Hallelujah. So he's saying the final answer is not to judge one another, not to jam one another up.
Amen.
Amen. And not to jeopardize their faith. The jeopardize means to cause them to fall. How many know that a lot of men and women of God have fallen because of brothers and sisters in Christ that stumbled and tripled them up and hurt them? Okay, come on. Come on. Let's be real. Let's be real. God doesn't want us to put on this facade and be fake. It's real. Okay? And God wants us to grow and learn from these things and not to be fed by them. So in Proverbs 28, we'll go for a little bit of wisdom of Solomon. And Proverbs 28, verse number 10 says, "Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession." So it sounds like to me the Lord's pretty serious about this, about tripping one another up and causing one another to fall. So the Apostle Paul in Romans 13 reminds you and I. Romans 13, verse number 10. He says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." And here's what the Lord says to you and I about causing our brother to fall. In Romans 15, verse number 1, the Apostle Paul says this: "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." In other words, God's causing, how is the brethren going to dwell together in unity?
Yeah.
By not judging one another, by not jamming one another up, by not jeopardizing one another's faith, by not justifying our actions. Whoa. When we're wrong, we're wrong. And sometimes we, when we're right, we have to take the wrong to help the others to be right. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus was right, and he took the wrong to make you and I right. And if we're following him, we're doing the same. Come follow me, he said. He's our example. He paved the way for you and I. So Solomon, in closing today, in Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 15, the Word of God says this: he that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to God. Amen. So in closing, God says, church, you may have watched the game, but we're not to have a family feud. God's desire is for us to dwell together in unity. This unity comes by not judging one another, by not jamming one another up, by not jeopardizing one another's faith, by not justifying ourselves when we're wrong. You don't have to openly do anything, but God says this message is to everyone. And it's important that we take his words as truth and we put them to practice in our hearts and lives. God has a plan and a purpose for every heart and for every life. The adversary comes to distract and to move and to get you out of God's will in your life. But God in his love and his mercy says, he calls you back right where you're at, and he loves you where you are, and he'll love on you, he'll take you and fulfill everything. Nothing's wasted. I see that everything that I go through, God's teaching me something in and through it. And God said he will never allow more of me than I can bear. And he always gives me an avenue of escape. But I have to take the avenue. And sometimes I allow the adversary to have more space in my life because I didn't release it to the Lord, or I tried to fight it in my own strength and my own power. And I never was created strong enough to do it on my own. See, Adam and Eve thought they were strong enough to do it on their own. God proved that they couldn't do it. And God's given you and I a helper, the Holy Spirit. And when you ask God into your heart as your life, not just as your Savior, but you make him Lord of your life, then he seals you with the Spirit of promise. You have the helper, you have the advocate, you have the friend. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word today. We're grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to do. Your word declares in Revelations that you stand at the door and knock. If any man or woman hears your voice and opens the door, you will come in. In the closing moments of this service today, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus, or maybe one time you knew him and you know you're not at that place you need to be, and you feel the Lord prompting you today, would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another here today? Pastor, I'm not in the place I need to be. Is there another one here today? I'm going to ask you to do something. God says this: if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. Maybe you didn't raise your hand. Maybe you needed to. But if you raise your hand, would you please come and meet me here? Don't worry about what anybody thinks. This is between you and God. Would you please come? Please? Please? Is there anyone else? You're not the place you need to be. You don't have to look at them. Yeah, come on. You want to grab them? Would y'all extend your hands? I'm going to pray for the two of you first. Father, I pray for my sister and my brother today, Father God. I thank you for their hearts and their lives. I thank you for what you're going to do. Your word declares when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against them. And that standard was raised on the cross of Calvary. So as they say this prayer today, Father God, may it come from their hearts and not just from their brains. And as they say this prayer, Father God, you're faithful to forgive and to reside in them. So would you pray with me, say, Dear Jesus, come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. I acknowledge you died on the cross. You arose from the grave. You paid the penalty for my sins. You purchased me a place in heaven. Father, forgive me all my sins. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul and making me whole. Now, Jesus, take residence in my body. My body is your temple. Holy Spirit, I need your help. Come and guide me and direct me in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.